Good morning. My name is Michael Hickox. I'm an evangelist with the Olney Church of Christ. We are a group of Christians who meet here in Olney at 220 North Van Street. We meet at 9:30 on Sunday mornings for Bible study, 10:20 on Sunday mornings for worship, 2 p.m. on Sunday afternoons for worship, and 7 p.m. on Wednesday evenings for Bible study. We welcome visitors if you would like to join us as we assemble together to worship God and to study from His Word. We also offer in-home Bible studies if you would be interested in studying from the Word of God to learn more about who He is and what His will is for us. We would be happy to study with you. You can contact us at 217-218-0803. You can also contact us and learn more about us through our website, which is olneychurchofchrist.org. olneychurchofchrist.org, again, is the website. And the number is 217-218-0803. This morning in our program, we will examine five two-sided coins of Scripture. Many of you have probably heard the saying, "There are two sides to every coin." And this saying has application to our study of God's Word. Many misunderstandings of what God teaches come as a result of looking only at one side of what He teaches on a given subject. But in order to understand God's teachings, we need to look at the complete picture of what He teaches on any subject. We need to look at both sides of the coin, so to speak. And I think you'll understand what is meant by this as we consider these five examples here this morning. And so, for instance, one two-sided coin we want to consider is God's grace and our responsibilities. God's grace and our responsibilities. If you'd like to open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2, this is the first passage that we will look at here this morning. Ephesians chapter 2, and I will be reading verses 8 and 9. I'll be reading from the World English Bible Translation here this morning. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, that no one would boast." This passage, along with several others in Scripture, make it clear that we need the grace of God in order to be saved. No matter how many good works we do not earn our salvation. The works we do not merit our salvation. We have the opportunity to be saved as a result of God's grace, and thus have no reason to boast in the works we do to receive salvation. But notice another passage that talks about salvation in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, and I'll be reading from verse 12. Philippians chapter 2, and in verse 12, says, "So then, my beloved, even as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Notice five words used in that verse. Work out your own salvation. This verse, along with many others in Scripture, makes it clear that works of obedience on our part are necessary in order for us to be saved. This does not mean that we are earning our salvation when we do good works, but it means that in order for us to receive the gift of salvation God offers through His grace, we must come to Him on His terms. And His terms include works of obedience on our part. And so it's important for us to not treat salvation as if it is only about what God's done and there is nothing required on our part. It's also important for us to not treat salvation as something that is only about what we do. It is not an either-or situation here. It is a both-and situation. We need both God's part and man's part in order to be saved. God's grace and man's responsibilities is one two-sided coin of Scripture. But another two-sided coin for us to consider that is related but a little bit different is God's love and righteous judgment. God is a God of love. Because He loves us, He wants every one of us to be saved. And because He loves us, He gives every one of us the opportunity to be saved if we will accept salvation. Notice what is said in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and in verse 8. Romans chapter 5 and in verse 8. Here the inspired apostle says, "But God commends His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." God loves us so much that He came up with a plan by which we might be saved. And He carried out this plan through His Son, Jesus Christ. He revealed this plan through the Holy Spirit. This plan that He came up with for saving man involves and includes Him sending Jesus, His only begotten Son, into the world to live a perfect life and then to die on the cross and thereby give us the opportunity to have our sins forgiven. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That demonstrates God's love He has for us. He wants every one of us to be saved and spend eternity in heaven with Him. But there's another side to this coin. And that is that while God is a God of love, He is also a perfectly just God. He cannot ignore sin. He has told us in His Word that the unrighteous will be punished. Notice what is said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, I'll be reading verses 6 through 9. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. I'll first highlight a phrase that is used in verse 5, and the phrase is the righteous judgment of God. And in talking about the righteous judgment of God, the inspired apostle goes on to say, "Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay affliction to those who afflict you and to give relief to you who are afflicted with us. Now notice what he's talking about here as he talks about the righteous judgment of God, the righteous thing with God. About halfway through verse 7, notice what he's talking about. It says, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, giving vengeance to those who don't know God and to those who don't obey the good news or the gospel of our Lord Jesus, who will pay the penalty, eternal destruction from the face of the Lord and from the glory of his might. Think about what is being said there in those verses. God is a perfectly just God who will exercise righteous judgment against those who don't obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. This involves them paying the penalty as it is worded in verse 9, and that penalty is eternal destruction from the face of the Lord and from the glory of his might. Our God is a God of love who wants all of us to be able to spend eternity in heaven, but he has also told us in his word that if we do not obey him, we will spend eternity being tormented in hell. God is a loving God, but he's also a God who exercises righteous judgment against disobedience. We want to recognize both sides of this coin. But another two-sided coin of Scripture that we will examine this morning is God's providence and man's free will. God's providence and man's free will. If you turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1, Philippians chapter 1 is a passage we will look at in demonstration of God's providence, what is often referred to when we talk about God's providence, is God working through non-miraculous natural means to carry out his purposes? Oftentimes, when God's providence is referred to, it involves him working not just directly through his word, but through other natural means to carry out his purposes. And the scriptures indicate that God does work in this way. And because he works in this way, it is important for us to ask him for help as we endeavor to better serve him. Notice in Philippians chapter 1, a prayer made by the Apostle Paul on behalf of the Philippian brethren. Verse 9 of that chapter says, this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Notice what the Apostle Paul was praying for the Philippian brethren in these three verses. He was praying that their love would abound more and more, that they would approve the things that are excellent, be sincere and without offense, be filled with the fruits of righteousness. He was praying that they would be strengthened in their service to God. And certainly, Christians should pray today for God's help as we endeavor to serve him to the best of our ability. And Scripture indicates that while we cannot put our finger on every specific providential act of God, we can trust that he works through his providence to help us better serve Him if we are seeking Him as we should. But we don't want to take this side of the coin too far, because there are some who treat God's involvement in leading us to obey Him, they treat this as if it is God forcing us to obey Him, and we want to recognize that while God certainly helps us serve Him, He does not force us to serve Him. Instead, He gives us free will, which means we must choose to obey His commandments. Notice a verse that brings this principle out in Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23, and I'll be reading verse 37. Here in Matthew chapter 23, Jesus speaks to the rebellious nature of many of those who were in Jerusalem at this time. And notice the words He uses here in this verse, Matthew 23 and in verse 37. "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I would have gathered your children together, even as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you would not." Think about what Jesus is saying here. God's preference is to put His arm around us in a figurative sense, like a hen gathering her chicks under her wings. His preference is for us to be in fellowship with Him, for us to be right with Him. But Jesus tells these individuals, "You would not." God wants us to be right with Him, but He does not force us to be right with Him. He could if He wanted to. He has that power, but He has chosen to create mankind with free will. And thus we must choose to obey God and not think that He is simply going to force this on us. It's a choice that we must make. But notice another two-sided coin of Scripture, still keeping to this theme of man's free will. A fourth two-sided coin of Scripture is Satan's viciousness and man's free will. God works through His providence to help us better serve Him if we seek Him as we should and ask for His help through prayer. Satan works for very different reasons. He works to keep us from serving God. He is vicious and he needs to be taken seriously. Notice what is said about Satan in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 and in verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5 and in verse 8. Here the inspired apostle says, "Be sober and self-controlled, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Notice here, God tells us we need to be watchful, and He says we need to be watchful because Satan walks around like a roaring lion. The image we get here is one who is viciously seeking to lead us astray. He is dangerous. He tempts us. He seeks to deceive us. He makes sin look like something it is not. He is doing everything in His power to seek to keep us from obeying God. We must understand that and take Satan and his work seriously. But we also must recognize what verse 9 of 1 Peter 5 goes on to say. It says, withstand him, steadfast in your faith. Withstand Satan is what God tells us to do. And that shows us that Satan can be withstood. God does not force us to do what is right. Satan cannot force us to do what is wrong. Notice what is said along these lines in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and I'll be reading verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and in verse 13 says, no temptation has taken you except what is common to man. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able, but will with the temptation also make the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Notice what is said and not said here in this verse. It doesn't say that God will not allow us to be tempted and then just stop there. God does allow us to be tempted, but it says God will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able. God gives Satan the ability to tempt us, but he does not give Satan the ability to force us to do what is wrong. Satan cannot force us to sin. Mankind has free will. And so when we put this together with the last two-sided coin, we want to recognize and take seriously God working through his providence to help us do right, and Satan working to keep us from doing right. But we also want to recognize that ultimately the choice is ours. We must choose to do right. God will not force us to make that choice, and Satan cannot keep us from making that choice. We want to recognize both sides of this coin. But one last two-sided coin that we want to consider here this morning has to do with the subject of baptism. Understanding what baptism is and what it is not. There are many in the religious world who miss the significance of baptism. And then there can be others who make baptism out to be something different or more than what it is. We want to recognize both what baptism is and what it is not. If you turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 2 and in verse 38. In Acts chapter 2 and in verse 38, Peter here talking by inspiration of the Holy Spirit to some Jews who questioned what they needed to do in response to them hearing the word of God proclaimed. And in this verse, Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Notice here what baptism in the name of Jesus Christ is connected to. It is connected to the forgiveness of sins. And if you had the opportunity last Sunday morning to listen to our radio program, we noticed a few different passages of Scripture that point out why baptism and how baptism is so significant. We noticed several passages that prove baptism is essential for our salvation, and we do not want to miss that point that the Scriptures teach. But we also don't want to get the idea that baptism alone saves us, because there's more to it than that. Baptism is necessary, but it is not the only thing that is necessary. We saw earlier on this morning that we also need the grace of God. We need the blood of Christ, the word of the Holy Spirit. We need God's part. And even from our perspective, there's more that's needed from us than baptism alone. We need also to repent, as we see there in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. That involves turning away from sin. And then after we are baptized, after we become a Christian, we need to be steadfast in God's teaching, as we see down at verse 42 there of Acts chapter 2. The individuals there at Jerusalem who were baptized, they became Christians. In verse 41, we see in verse 42 that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, and that's something that we must do as well. And if we fail to do this, if we become a Christian and we have our sins forgiven and we are at that point in a right relationship with God, but we do not continue steadfastly in God's teachings, then we can fall from grace. This is what the Scriptures teach very clearly. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4 uses the phrase there as Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is speaking there to some Christians who have denied the gospel. They've turned away from the truth. He tells them there at the end of that verse, you have fallen away from grace. It is very possible for us to be in a saved condition at one point in our lives and then fall from grace. That goes against what many in the religious world teach to be true, but it is what God teaches to be true in His inspired Word. So as we consider these two-sided coins here this morning, it is evident that if we are going to understand the complete picture of what God teaches on any given subject, we need to look at all of God's teachings on that subject. We need to look at both sides of the coin. Sometimes there's even more than two sides, but everything God teaches on a given subject must be considered to get the whole truth. And I hope that this lesson has been helpful in understanding these five specific two-sided coins of Scripture. If you have any questions about anything that was stated here this morning, please do not hesitate to contact us at 217-218-0803. Our website is allneechurchofchrist.org. We will conclude our 30-minute period here this morning with a hymn from the Favorite Hymns Quartet. Thank you very much for listening, and have a wonderful day.